at school and in the clinic, and in motor coordination, speech articulation, and reading skills. They found unexpected improvements between 5 and 35 IQ points, with an average improvement of 17.9 points just with nutritional supplementation and the removal of certain additives from their diet. So this is a really good article. If you're interested in receiving it, just email me at uhururadio.com. And it looks like I'm way over my time. Uhuru, all power to the people, black power to the African community. Over my time, Uhuru, all power to the people, black power to the African community. Over my time, Uhuru, all power to the people, black power to the African community.
Uhuru.
We live in a world that is constructed of the theft of the resources, both material and human, of African and other people as a consequence of its existence. Stealing black labor, black bodies, black territory, of the rape of Asia, Latin America, etc. It's a rotten, foul social system. That's the world we live in. And if you raise the question of reparations, it makes it necessary for African people to come to terms with this. So much is done against us all the time. Demoralizing black people. You took my money, you took my resources, you stole every damn thing we got. I want it back.
Solidarity Not Charity is hosted by the African People's Solidarity Committee. We thank the African People's Socialist Party for allowing us this time on uhururadio.com. The African People's Solidarity Committee is an organization of white people working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party that leads the Uhuru movement for the liberation of Africa and African people all over the world. Solidarity Not Charity invites other white people to participate in this discussion about why it is in our truest interest to stand in solidarity with the movement for the liberation of African people everywhere. We recognize that peace and security on this planet will never be possible without justice and liberation for African and all oppressed peoples.
Uhuru, welcome to Solidarity Not Charity. I'm your host, Harris Daniels of the African People's Solidarity Committee, broadcasting live today from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I have a great show lined up for today. We have a great guest who just returned from Africa, from a delegation with the African People's Socialist Party, leading the All African People's Development and Empowerment Programs. We have Dr. Aisha Fields, PhD. Are you with us, Aisha? Uhuru.
Uhuru, yes, I'm here.
Great. It's great to have you on the show today. Thank you very much for agreeing to come and sum up the delegation and answer some questions for the Solidarity Show to let our listeners know exactly what we're supporting in the work that we do to build a lot of material solidarity to support these programs.
Thank you for having me.
Uhuru. So we just want to give a little background. Dr. Aisha Fields is a member of the African People's Socialist Party, and like I just said, she returned from West Africa, where she led a delegation of African scientists, healthcare workers, and engineers to begin putting some of the projects on the ground together with African people in West Africa. So before we get into the recent trip, Comrade Aisha, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. As Comrade just mentioned, I'm a member of the African People's Socialist Party, and I think that it's by no accident that I found the party, because the work that the party is doing in the world is unparalleled to any other organization or movement in the world. And because of my upbringing, my parents, I was raised in Philadelphia primarily. Parents who, you know, always instilled in us the importance of understanding the responsibility that we have as African people to do what we can to to work in the interest of our people. And so throughout my life, the theme has always been, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I learn? What can I gain in order to, you know, to make some kind of contribution to African people? And so, you know, going to school, I kind of muddled around thinking, you know, maybe becoming a teacher, or maybe, you know, making some money, or maybe, you know, having a business, or maybe, you know, moving to Africa and, you know, setting up shop there is what will, you know, somehow be my contribution to African people. But it wasn't until meeting the African People's Socialist Party that the upbringing that my parents kind of, you know, provided for us, and the education that that I was able to get kind of collided, and you know, there was sense in the world, and I could see a reason and a way that I could use what it is that I had gained for the benefit of African people. And so I honestly believe that you know, everything that I've done in my life has prepared me to, you know, do what it is that I'm doing now as a member of the African People's Socialist Party.
Uhuru, I appreciate that. I mean, that's really, you know, we talk a lot on this show about how North Americans can use our skills and our backgrounds to put forward the work in solidarity with African liberation. But you are a real role model for a lot of Africans who are getting this training in the imperialist school system in utilizing these skills and training other Africans across the world in putting them forward for the African liberation. So if you could say a little bit more about how your work in physics does contribute to the struggle for African liberation.
Well, I think in a pure sense, my training in physics really hasn't prepared me at all for doing the work that the party has, you know, has allowed me to be a part of. But in some way, I would say, you know, going through school and just understanding and being able to navigate through, you know, through whatever hoops you have to run through with school, understanding that, you know, every problem, especially in science, the way we're taught to look at things is that every problem has a solution. We just have to be able to study and understand the situation, study and understand what it is we're looking at so that we can, you know, make some sense of the world. And so I think in some way, you know, those kind of things have helped me, you know, to be able to approach the work that we're doing. But in a purely scientific way, really what I learned in school is not really being directly applied to the work that we're doing with the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project. But I think that my training in physics, again, has allowed me to, you know, be able to be a problem solver and that kind of thing. But really what I was trained to do was really make war for the United States government. You know, before meeting the party, most of my work, either directly or indirectly, had to do with research that, you know, may look benign in one way, but ultimately, you know, was, you know, going to be used in one way or another to be able to, you know, make war on the peoples of the planet. And I think that's what most scientists in this country and perhaps around the world are really doing when they're doing science that's funded in one way or another by the United States government, either through grants that their schools receive or whatever. So directly, the science that I learned was not anything that could be applied to, you know, at least immediately to you know, the work that I'm doing now. But more than anything, I think just trained me to be able to be a problem solver.
That's great. I mean, that's the kind of training that comes from being in this movement as well is you know, deepening that kind of problem solving. I think a lot of people who have the experience of being in the Uhuru movement, whether it's the African People's Socialist Party, in PEDM, or the Solidarity movement, really are able to take on a lot of problems. And it's because of the chairman and Yeshitelism, African internationalism, being so scientific.
Absolutely. And I would like to add, I'm glad you said that, because really what the party was able to provide for me was an opportunity to say, look, okay, we have something that we want to see happen in the world, and, you know, comrade, you have a certain skill set that would make us think that you'll be able to take this on. And so what the party did was provide an opportunity and provide a challenge and to say, hey, we need to have this happen. And, you know, it's so that really what happened is that, you know, I had to rise to the occasion for what the party and what the African Liberation Movement was calling for. And so, again, I mean, I really want to unite with what you're saying about the party and the movement, you know, making people rise to the occasion.
Yeah, because this is a really revolutionary program, and we want to talk a lot about it on the show today because it's something we put out a lot in the Solidarity Movement when we're trying to win North Americans. You can't always win North Americans directly on saying we support African liberation, and, you know, it's in no way massifying our line, but it's certainly when you start talking about sustainable development and community-led programs, people start to perk up and listen more because that's what more of what they're, you know, used to hearing people asking them to support. So let's talk about the delegation. Was this the first time you'd been to Africa?
No, it wasn't the first time I've been to Africa. I've had a chance actually to kind of do a bit of traveling through the continent. So I had been to a couple places in West Africa, East Africa, and Southern Africa. But this was the first time that I had been to Africa, you know, as a member of the party. And so in a lot of ways it was kind of like my first time coming to Africa with the real understanding of why, you know, the conditions exist the way that they do in Africa, and with a real purpose, you know, not just being a tourist or going to have some kind of emotional experience, but going to do the serious work that the African Liberation Movement requires of us. And so in many ways it was kind of like my first time going to Africa.
Great. So we're going to talk about the programs, and do we say OPTEP or do we say ADEP? A lot of people do both.
You know, I've heard it several different ways, but what seems to be most palatable for most folks is APDEP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us what that stands for and a bit about the programs and how they work.
Sure. APDEP stands for the All African Peoples Development and Empowerment Project. And APDEP is an organization that has been built by the African People's Socialist Party for the purpose of organizing the skills which exist in the African world, the technical skills, to be able to do projects not only in Africa but in African communities throughout the world that will make a serious impact on the material conditions in African communities, to really be able to improve the objective conditions that our people are faced with in African communities everywhere. And so what APDEP does is we go out and we win African scientists, engineers, healthcare workers, you know, Africans with skills in construction and other areas, electricians, you know, plumbers, skilled Africans who would otherwise use their skills, you know, primarily or maybe even only to, you know, make sure that health and, you know, and development abound in, you know, white communities or, you know, in the United States, in Europe, and, you know, who wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to use their skills to build up our own communities and to build up Africa itself. And so we go out into the world to organize Africans who would be one to you know, to donating, to volunteering their skill and their expertise to do projects under the leadership of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project.
Uhuru, yeah, it's again, I can't say enough about how impressed and supportive I am of these programs, because just seeing how they've developed in the short time that I've been a member of the movement, and seeing how much of a difference it's making, it really flies right in the face of what the charity model of development in Africa or otherwise, and so certainly the environmental movement, and it really puts it right back into the question of empowerment and why the contradictions in Africa are what they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of people are really, it's a buzzword, sustainability. It's
right.
Something that's down from the way people are doing their gardening to
right.
people getting involved in community agriculture to what
right.
people do when they join the Peace Corps or something else that goes
right.
out there. And that
right.
that is a major part of the APDEP vision for Africa. So
yeah.
to compare to other movements, how is APDEP's vision different?
Sure. I mean, I think when we hear sustainability, like, you know, sustainable agriculture, or, you know, we want to have a energy, sustainable energy or whatever, I mean, what most people are putting forward is that they want to see things done in a way that doesn't make a negative impact on the environment, something that will, you know, make people feel good about, you know, about whatever it is that they're involved in, you know, and as opposed to what APDEP is putting forward in terms of sustainable development. In one way, APDEP, you know, does, you know, have a similar approach to what the typical understanding that somebody would have when they're talking about sustainable development, in that we want to make sure that, you know, as much as possible, that the projects of APDEP are not doing anything that would, you know, harm the environment. So, for example, in talking about electrifying communities, one of the things that APDEP definitely wants to be able to put forward is the ability to do renewable energy, you know, where we can use energy from the sun or from water or from the wind to be able to generate electricity, unlike, you know, the way electricity is generally, you know, had, you know, by burning fossil fuels and that kind of thing. So our vision for our projects and our long-term vision for Africa is one that, you know, would not, you know, as we get the things that we need in terms of food, in terms of electricity and other kinds of things, that, you know, we would do them in ways that don't harm the environment, don't harm people, things that we wouldn't, you know, be using up the environment and that kind of thing. But our vision of sustainability, or our understanding of sustainability, is a bit deeper too, because, you know, one thing that people tend to discuss when they talk about sustainability is, you know, whether or not, you know, let's say an organization goes into a community and they are involved in some kind of project, and they say, well, we want to make sure that we train the community so that the community is able to maintain this system. Let's say if there's a water system, some organization helps to put down in the community, we want to make sure the community is trained so that they can maintain the system and they're not dependent on us to continue to come back. Well, that's fine, and APDEP has a similar kind of a way that we work, so that we're able to train the community in the systems that we're helping to put on the ground and that kind of thing. But the real thing that separates APDEP from any of these other discussions around sustainability is that our approach to sustainability is real, true sustainability, in that we want people to be able to have water for the long run. We want people to be able to have electricity for the long run, and not just in one community, but throughout Africa. And so in order to do that, you have to deal with what the real contradiction is when you're talking about why people, you know, don't have you know, water, why people don't have electricity, why people don't have, you know, good nutritious food, why people don't have, you know, good health care. And so when we talk about sustainability, we're talking about making sure that that primary contradiction, the fact that African people don't have access over our resources, the fact that, you know, African people, our lives are, you know, in the miserable, you know, shape that they're in because somebody else's life has been enhanced by stealing our resources. And so APDEP projects are truly sustainable, and that we're not only addressing the environmental issues, the fact that people need training, but that these projects are part of a larger strategy, a revolutionary strategy, to be able to win masses of African people to organizations that are fighting for Africa's resources to belong to African people. So that is what, you know, true sustainability would mean for Africa and African people as it relates to electricity, clean water, and those other kinds of things that other organizations would, you know, be involved with as well.
Uh-huh. No, thank you for that background and explanation, because I think that's really helpful for people listening who are interested in learning more about that as a way of relating to other movements that are out there and other ways that people support environmental concerns. But this is definitely political, and that's a real understanding of APDEP, that it's both. You don't have to choose to support the environment or to support the struggle of African and other oppressed people. It's certainly hand in hand.
That's right, and it has to be if we're honest about changing the conditions. I can remember not too long ago, a few months ago, I was in the St. Petersburg area, and I went and spoke at a class talking about ACTIV. I spoke to some people who were seniors. They were just about to graduate. They were seniors in environmental studies, and we had an opportunity to have a little discussion. The class was primarily North American, and there were maybe one or two Africans in the class. And the discussion that we had after the presentation was about, you know, what the real problem is. I mean, you know, there are lots of discussion, and they were even having discussion before we had come in. I had heard about, you know, how we can save the planet, you know, how it is that we can make sure, you know, we can stop global warming and this kind of thing. And one of the things that I had to raise with the class was, okay, now, the problems that you all are discussing here, you know, these environmental issues, you know, is it that we don't have the science to be able to address global warming? Is it that we don't understand what causes global warming? You know, is it that we don't have the technology available to be able to clean up the environment now? You know, what, or is it that we live in a world that has its primary approach of looking at the world to make money? You know, is it the social system, the economic system? Is it capitalism that's the problem? Or is it the fact that, you know, we don't have the technology, or we don't have the understanding of what to do? And so, you know, and that had to be raised, because otherwise we can look at the world as if the political situation and the you know, an environment are somehow separate, or that people aren't able to eat and people aren't able to have clean water in a vacuum, you know. And we have to be able to, if we really want to be able to address, you know, the conditions of Africa or any place, we have to understand the political implications of what causes that particular situation to exist.
That's right. That's right. Uhuru. I want to remind listeners, you're listening to uhururadio.com. This is Solidarity, Not Charity, the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee, where we talk about how we support the African liberation struggle under the leadership of the Uhuru movement from the white community. And we're here with Dr. Aisha Fields, who's a PhD in applied physics, and she leads APDEP programs, the All African People's Development and Empowerment Programs. And we're talking about a delegation that she's just returned from in West Africa, where they've done some amazing work setting up these programs. We're going to get into that. And if you want to join this discussion, you can either email a question at dj@uhururadio.com or call us. It is a different number than is on the Uhuru Radio site. It is 727-565-1599. That's 727-565-1599, and you can get involved in the discussion here about the APDEP programs and white solidarity with African liberation with Dr. Aisha Fields. Uhuru. So with this trip, it's also a component of the program is the Corps of African Engineers, Scientists, and Healthcare Workers. Can you tell us about this corps, where they're from, and what the mission is?
Sure. As you just mentioned, part of what APDEP has built is something that's called the African Corps of Scientists, Engineers, and Healthcare Workers. And what this corps is basically a formation of African engineers, scientists, of course, other skilled Africans who serve as the technical volunteers for APDEP projects. They help to put the APDEP projects on the ground. They help to, you know, develop plans of action for the projects. They help to develop proposals and that kind of thing. They lend their technical expertise in all areas of APDEP projects. And so the Corps right now consists of Africans from throughout the world, actually, from the continent of Africa itself, from throughout the United States, Canada, as well as South America. And so we're in the process also of expanding, you know, our capacity of the kinds of work that we're able to do depending on the kinds of people we're able to win into this corps. And so you know, we're constantly encouraging Africans to visit our website at www.developmentforafrica.org, where you can learn about APDEP. You can learn about the African Corps of Engineers, Scientists, and Healthcare Workers. Read over our points of unity, and if you're interested, you know, you can go right there and fill in the application and submit it right there and join the African Corps of Engineers, Scientists, and Healthcare Workers. So we're constantly looking for Africans and with all kinds of skill to be able to, you know, join the Corps. So we definitely want to encourage any African who might be listening today who's interested to check out the website and submit an application.
Great, great. And we'll get a little bit later into the question of how North Americans and Europeans can be involved in the work. But let's first go over the trip. And just first off, hearing the immediate reports, and people can read this on uhurunews.com. There's a report from the trip to Sierra Leone, and it was hosted by the Africanist movement. And it seems like you know, the relationship between the African People's Socialist Party and the Africanist movement is a very positive one, and is really developing a lot of these sorts of projects and programs. And could you tell us a bit about the Africanist movement and how it came about that this trip was hosted by them?
Sure. The Africanist movement is a mass organization primarily based out of Sierra Leone, West Africa, but with membership throughout West Africa. I think throughout about 11 countries in West Africa, and with a membership of maybe around 70,000 members. The Africanist movement has as its goal struggle to organize people into African people into a process to win control over Africa's resources so that Africa's resources go to benefit the masses of African people everywhere. And they're working to bring forward a united, liberated socialist Africa. And of course that's completely in line with the mission and the goal of the work of the African People's Socialist Party and the African Socialist International, which is one organization that's been built by the African People's Socialist Party that will be one organization of African people, African movements, and African people throughout the world to form a one united socialist Africa. And we have members of the African Socialist International, throughout the continent of Africa and other places. And the Africanist movement is actually an organizational member of the African Socialist International. And so part of what APDEP, is helping to do is to be able to improve on the influence that members of the African Socialist International, organizations who are members of the African Socialist International, have, and to be able to help to participate in projects in partnership with organizations who are members of the ASI, like the Africanist movement, so that they can win greater influence to be able to win more people into their organization. And so that's part of, you know, our mission, in participating in this work in Sierra Leone in partnership with the Africanist movement. This trip that we just came back from, this assessment trip, was facilitated and organized by the Africanist movement for us to be able to, you know, begin the process of doing projects there in Sierra Leone.
Great. And we'd love to hear in more detail just about some of the assessments that you did on these projects.
Sure. There are several projects that we're involved with in Sierra Leone. We're, first of all, working in two different communities right now. One community is in the city of Lungi. The community is called Banelolo. And Banelolo means meeting place in the language of the Timini people. And Banelolo is a community of about 500 people who are mainly subsistence farmers. And Banelolo is an area that it's an Africanist stronghold in some sense. And the community of Banelolo, they're looking to be able to take some land that they have there, about 30 acres, to be able to develop it as a community farm. Most people do their own private kind of farming and their own, you know, on their own piece of land, and they do some community farming, but they don't have access to, you know, to farming equipment that would make the task, you know, a lot simpler, and that would be able to allow them to improve the quality of what's grown, or to be able to improve the amount of what's grown. And so part of what AppDep will be doing in Vanillalo is to help to develop about 30 acres of land that they have there to be able to make an impact on the amount and quality of what's grown, so that people can not just have enough food to eat, but can now have enough food to eat, you know, feed the community, and to be able to sell, to provide some resources, you know, for members of the community. And so, you know, that project is something that, you know, is going to require lots of resources, lots of equipment. So part of what we needed to do, and part of what we did during the assessment phase of the project that we just came out of in this trip to Sierra Leone, was to visit the land there in Vanillalo, make some kind of assessment about the land, determine what kinds of things might be able to be done to improve, improve the crop yield and that kind of thing, as well as to be able to look at how we could improve the ability for the people of Vanillalo to have access to clean water. Vanillalo is a swampy area, and at the time of year that the well dries up, the one well that the community shares, people are forced to use the swamps to collect their drinking water. And so part of what we did during the assessment there was to take a look at the situation that people were dealing with in terms of the water, find out how much water people basically have access to, the quality of the water, so that we could make some determination as to what would be the best approach for helping to provide clean water for people throughout the year. Another community that we're working in is actually in Freetown, and the community is called Olashoro. And Olashoro is actually what's called a reclaimed community. It was started by an African who was taken kidnapped onto a slave ship, and he jumped off and swam to shore and started a community right there. It's right on the coast. And Olashoro is what's called an urban peasant community, because although it's right in the middle of the capital, you know, in the urban area of Sierra Leone, the people are primarily tied to agriculture there, and their situation in terms of their access to basic services, the amount of money that they have to live on, the kinds of things that, you know, that they're able to provide in terms of income, is just the same as folks, for example, in Vanillalo, who live in a rural community. And part of what we did in our trip there was to be able to, again, assess the water situation there in Vanillalo, talk with local leaders in the community in general there in Olashoro about what they'd like to see in terms of addressing healthcare issues there. And so part of what we'll be participating in Vanillalo is healthcare projects to be able to address infant and maternal mortality rate there, rainwater harvesting to be able to, you know, allow people to have greater access to clean water, and also a fishing project that will help to generate jobs and food and resources for the people of Olashoro.
This is excellent to hear about, because it's real. It's on the ground. It's something we know is happening right now, that the Uhuru movement owns, and that, yes, and that as a result of that, the people own it.
Yes.
And it belongs to the people, and as it should, exactly. Because it's not the West fixing the problems that it's caused. It's not imperialism trying to just patch up with Band-Aids.
That's
this
right.
Is real, and it's African people coming back together after being dispersed, and really, really taking care of the community in a real global sense of the word. So it's just really, really intensely important that this is happening.
Absolutely.
And I was wondering if you could just speak a little bit more to the role that the community there in Sierra Leone in these different towns plays in the projects, both in how they're set up and then after the delegation has left, what role do they have now?
Sure. I think it's really important for the listeners to really understand that, you know, the primary contradiction that we're dealing with as African people, the primary reason why you see, you know, the conditions that exist of poverty and misery in African communities everywhere is because Africa's resources are being looted. And Africa's resources are going to make sure that somebody else's children, you know, have good health and that somebody else has a fine home at our expense. And I say that in answering your question, Harrison, because what I found, you know, in both communities, in Olashoro and in Benelolo, were very skilled people. Very skilled right. people who, in many cases, understand what it will take to be able to, you know, improve the health of the community, you know, in a real way. Who understand, you know, even in many cases, down to, you know, what kind of tank we'd need, what kind of, you know, water purification system we would need to be able to help purify the water that exists in those communities. But what they don't have access to are resources. And the contradiction is severe, because when you're talking about a place like Sierra Leone, you're talking about a place that has the world's best diamonds. So you have people standing on top of diamonds, standing on top of riches, who also have the intelligence, who have the information and the know-how to be able to solve the problem, but don't have access to the resources to be able to do that. And so part of what the people of Benelolo and Olashoro will be doing, and more specifically I think in Olashoro, because Olashoro is a community that are very skilled people. I mean, in response to APDEP coming to participate in the projects there, the people of Olashoro, under the leadership of the Africanist movement, organized themselves into community committees. So when we went to meet with the people of Olashoro, with the Olashoro community, we met the engineering committee of Olashoro. We met the healthcare committee of Olashoro. We met the agricultural committee of Olashoro. We met economists who were there to help support those, you know, being able to find ways that those projects that we would participate in could be, you know, economically sustainable. And so so the people specifically of Olashoro would be very involved in the projects that we'll be putting on the ground there. For example, the engineering committee of Olashoro is as we speak developing a proposal for turning. They have access to some underground springs there. They're developing a proposal to turn the underground springs that they have access to into a system that can be of water that can be distributed throughout the community. Now, these are young people who are members of the engineering committee who've gone to college, you know, who have training, but because development going on in Sierra Leone to be able to make sure people have clean water, because those things aren't happening there and Sierra Leone's resources are being pumped someplace else, these people don't have access to, you know, to jobs. And so they've got these skills, and now finally APDEP, you know, being on the scene, is providing people not only with an opportunity to use, to, you know, have access to clean water and these kind of things, but to use their own creative genius to be able to use their own skill that they have, that they want to be able to use, to finally unleash that and be able to help them to be able to solve the problems of their community. So they're working on a proposal right now to be able to develop, you know, the spring into something that could be distributed throughout the community, as we even are still participating in rainwater harvesting. Same thing with the agricultural committee is working on a proposal in Olashoro to be able to develop the fishing industry in that community to be able to provide jobs for young people of Olasoro. And so we'll be working very much in partnership with the people in Olasoro and Bonello to be able to put these projects on the ground. And of course, this is in line with the understanding that we're working as one African people coming together to solve our own problems, whether it's me and the others from the Corps coming to Sierra Leone to help lend whatever it is we can, or the people of Olasoro going to Bonello to help with the skills that they have. We're all a part of one African people who are finally able to, you know, organize ourselves to be able to solve our own problems.
Uhuru, this is, again, just, I have to keep saying, it's a really exciting thing to hear about and know that it's happening, and know that, that in the solidarity movement, we can support this. I mean, this is unlike anything else that I know of that's ever existed, because you only ever hear about charity putting any kind of programs on the ground, and this is not charity at all. These are programs that are for African people, by African people, and for that it's revolutionary, and it's something that everyone can support in some way. And we want to invite listeners right now to join in on this discussion and bring questions to Dr. Aisha Fields. Either by calling or by emailing. Email, you can reach us at dj@uhururadio.com. Or if you want to call, we'll put you on the air and you can ask a question of Dr. Fields. 727-565-1599. That's 727-565-1599. And we'd love to take your call and have an open discussion here. Because I'm sure there's lots of questions that I haven't thought of, and there's lots of other aspects of these programs that you can speak to. Is there anything you'd like to put out in terms of how, again, people can access the website or how people can support this?
Sure. Please, I would really encourage all the listeners to go to our website, which is www.developmentforafrica.org, developmentforafrica.org. And there you can find out, you know, a little bit more about ABDEP, about our projects, about the communities that we're working in. I didn't mention that, you know, we just returned from Sierra Leone, but we also are participating in projects in Zimbabwe, and we're in the process of working out a plan of action to be able to help to build a well for farm irrigation with a youth cooperative there in Zimbabwe. And so definitely want people to be able to go to the website and check out information about all of those projects. You can also donate directly to our projects there on the website. You know, you can donate right there on the website. ABDEP, P.O. Box 454, Normal, Alabama 35762. And I really want to be able to take an opportunity really to thank all those people who have given so generously to ABDEP so far. I mean, we made a call recently before our trip to Sierra Leone. We put a call out to people to contribute donations to ABDEP so that we could begin the assessment phase of the projects in Sierra Leone, and you know, people responded very, you know, just really great to that call, and gave money. And I really just want to thank everybody who contributed resources to that, and I want to thank everybody who perhaps wanted to but wasn't in a position to, because ABDEP is going to be around. So as soon as you're in a position to, come on and find us and donate. But absolutely, check us out on the website, or you can call at area code 256-489-8715.
Uhuru. Well, we had a caller on the line on hold for a second there. Caller, if you could call back, please. We'd love to have your question. But that's a great way that people can get involved, and I do know a lot of comrades in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement gave generously, and I want to unite with that appreciation, because that's what we do. That's our responsibility, and people really did step up to that responsibility when the call went out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to be able to say that Absolutely, we need resources. We also need people who have skills, who have skills in various areas, water purification, construction, ecological sanitation, renewable energy. We need people who have those kinds of skills to be able to, you know, where possible, you know, maybe provide some trainings to Africans who will participate in those projects, or be able to help to answer technical questions, or be able to help, you know, have forums where people, representatives of APDEP, can come and speak to, you know, to maybe your university, or, you know, people who are, you know, to your job or something like that. And so there are lots of ways that people can participate in APDEP. North Americans can participate in supporting the work of APDEP, along with providing, you know, material solidarity.
Uhuru. We may have a problem with the phone here. I'd like that caller to try again. Once I joined that caller to the call, we lost him or her. And I just want to try that one more time. Caller, if you could call in, and I promise we'll try to get you on the air. And if it doesn't work, we'll get your question via email. We want to just open up to how people can get involved. I think you've given a lot of information out. And we just want to hear what our listeners have to say as well about what they think of these programs, and how they want to see themselves in it. Because everyone does have a place, and I think maybe now would be a good time to get to the question of North Americans and Europeans. I mean, certainly there's an African core of engineers and scientists and healthcare workers, and we know how we can support in solidarity, but what else can we do to be involved?
Sure. I mean, again, like I said, you know, we need people with skills in various areas, North Americans, Europeans, who want to be able to lend your expertise to our projects. You know, in fact, I know at this point we're definitely looking for somebody who has skill in well building. Somebody who has skills in renewable energy, you know, solar, wind, or micro hydro electricity generation, you know, because we're looking for to be able to build links with people who, you know, can help to, you know, solve some of the technical problems associated with our projects, or who can help us, you know, where necessary to, you know, lend their understanding to, you know, or suggestions for certain projects. And so we're looking for people, you know, who have skills to be able to help in that way as well, as well as, you know, just people who might want to be able to, again, you know, have members of APDEP come and speak and that kind of thing. So, you know, there are ways that people who are North American, who are European, can participate in the projects of APDEP. Also, people who have skills in fundraising, in videography, or other
Hello?
Kinds of skills. Hello?
Uhuru. Caller?
Uhuru.
Uhuru, are you there, caller?
Uhuru.
Can you turn your computer down if you have it on in the background?
Yes.
You're on the air with Solidarity Not Charity and Dr. Ayesha Fields. Do you have a question?
Well, I had a question while I was trying to call in. There were some problems, but Ayesha seems to have addressed it. Uhuru, it's been a great presentation.
Uhuru.
My name's Matthew. I'm a comrade in the Solidarity Movement in Boston. I was originally wondering how North Americans and Europeans with scientific backgrounds could get involved, but you really addressed that. More specifically now, I'm wondering if there's a lot of access in the North American community to scientific equipment.
Yes.
And possibly through donations and sort of giving back those resources. What kind of equipment, if any, would APDEP be interested in?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that question, comrade. I'm glad you did that, because I could have missed it, a golden opportunity to put this out. But you're right. I mean, we definitely have some equipment that we could use, I mean, immediately. And we're looking for water testing equipment. We'd like to have access to some equipment that would be able to test many different kinds of parameters, chemicals in the water, pH, dissolved oxygen, as well as the total fecal coliform. If people have access to equipment that would be able to allow us to test those kind of parameters in for drinking water. As far as the agricultural projects go, we're looking for people who might be able to help us win some serious farming equipment like tractors, and other kinds of equipment. We're also could use things for the healthcare projects. Blood pressure cuffs. One of the campaigns that we're going to be waging as part of the clean water effort in Sierra Leone is to be able to provide oral rehydration packets that help people regain electrolytes that are lost when people have waterborne diseases and they get dysentery. A lot of children die, thousands and thousands of children die, usually primarily children die, every year in Sierra Leone from treatable waterborne diseases, and usually they die from, dehydration associated with dysentery. And so one of the things we want to be able to do is to be able to collect lots of oral rehydration packets, which are basically a combination of, salt and sugar combination. I mean, very inexpensive, but people in the healthcare field might have access to lots of oral rehydration packets. Other medical equipment that could be used in for basic testing, we would be looking for. So, in fact, there isn't right now, but in the next day or so, there should be a place on ABDEP's website that'll have a list of all of the equipment that we would like to, to have donated if possible. And so I would encourage, again, people to check out the website, developmentforafrica.org, for a complete list of the equipment that we could use for the project. So thank you, Comrade, for that question.
Uhuru.
Yes, Uhuru, thank you
for leading this project. Really inspiring.
Uhuru.
So yeah, that's one of the things we should be looking out for in the solidarity movement, and North Americans and Europeans, look out for that list on the developmentforafrica.org site for how you can contribute equipment in addition to funds. I'm sure funds are still needed, of course, and other ways to get involved in the Uhuru solidarity movement politically. I just want to put out a bit here. That you can get involved in any of the major areas in which we're organizing. That's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You can call us at 215-387-0919 or email us at philly_office@apscuhuru.org. That's philly_office, office, at apscuhuru.org. You can also get in touch in St. Petersburg, Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, at 727-824-5685, or email stpete_office@apscuhuru.org. That's stpete_office@apscuhuru.org. Or email Oakland, California, oak_office@apscuhuru.org. oak_office@apscuhuru.org. I'd like to thank our guest today, Dr. Aisha Fields. Thank you so much, comrade, for coming on the show and talking to us about the programs.
Thank you, comrade, for having me.
We really appreciate being able to get an insight about what it is we can do and what we're supporting in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and just what the vision is of the African community worldwide, of the mobilized African working class, to transform their own conditions. And this is a real vision, and it gives real hope for the future. I know personally it just really makes me look at things in a different way, knowing that this movement exists and that programs like this exist. Because you look at imperialism and you just don't see a future. And I think that's the way a lot of us feel. And I think it's important for us to tell a different story and respond to the changing world and how African people themselves are going to transform it. And I think that's going to be a better future for all of us. And would you like to say anything else? Any last comments or anything you'd like to put out?
Sure. Again, I'd like to thank you, Comrade Harrison, for inviting me to participate in the show. Thank the other comrades from the African People Solidarity Committee for the hard work that you all are doing to be able to win North Americans and Europeans to honest solidarity with the African Liberation Movement. I want to thank the African People's Socialist Party, my leadership, Chairman Malia Shatella, and other leadership of the African People's Socialist Party for keeping the work of the African Liberation Movement alive for over the last 40 years. And I want to be able to, again, encourage all people, Africans, North Americans, and others who have interest in supporting in one way or another the work of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project to please, again, check us out on our website, www.developmentforafrica.org. Please consider giving of your time, giving of your money, or some kind of in-kind service or equipment to make this work happen. And I just want to emphasize again that what we're calling for, as the show is called, is solidarity and not charity. And I want to again thank everybody and look forward to building these projects and giving future reports. Uhuru.
Uhuru. And that concludes our show for the week. Do turn in next week. Tune in next week to Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com. We'll have an interview with Eddie Faye Gates, who is a survivor of the 1921 Tulsa riots in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with what is known as the Black Wall Street there, and how white mob colonial violence destroyed an economically prosperous community there, and about the call for reparations from the Tulsa Reparations Coalition. So that's going to be an exciting show about real history of, responsibility for the destruction of African communities that were in the United States succeeding economically on their own, and how regular white citizens participated in those attacks. This is Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com, and this also concludes the broadcast day of Uhuru Radio. Tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. uhururadio.com. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
It's our goal. Enemy, could you take our soul?
All we need is reparations.
Man, this land was built on the backs of blacks. Boy, you took it all, now we taking it back.
Man, we all in the same boat. Like I'm a star, oh my God. Yeah, we all in the same boat. Gotta deal with the pain, though. Both pockets on low, will you turn to the game, though? We all know how the game goes. Put the boats on freeze and the dope on season. But only half leave the crime scene. The other half already in the street.
streets of my dime peaks. Now I ain't trying to rewind time, but it seems that my kind's always on the front line. Genocide is too many black on black crimes. We realize ain't no business on the black side. Nice wives turn crack wives. Husband and gone again, another black lie. Right before his only son's eyes, and sure they gon' be off the chain. You ain't gotta wonder why.
We don't need no